The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Everyone, welcome back. I'm excited and honored here to have Arn Cinadella from Spark Investment Group with us today. Thanks for joining, Arn. How are you?
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity to spend a little time chat with you and hopefully provide your listeners some good information.
I will speak on behalf of them. I know it will be good information with you today. But for those that maybe don't know who you are, how you got into real estate, would you mind giving us just a little bit of background? Where you're from, how you got into real estate, and some of the investments you find yourself in today?
Sure. Great question. Happy to do that. So I got into the real estate business way back in 1978. So that's like 44 years ago. Got out of grad school, returned to Menlo Park, California in Silicon Valley, where I was born and raised. And I went to work for my dad in a residential brokerage company. And he was a great mentor. He taught me the brokerage business. He was also a very savvy investor, built up a portfolio of single family rentals, then moved into office buildings. And being the good son that I am, I kind of followed his footsteps. And as my brokerage career developed, I started accumulating quite a few single family properties, both in the San Francisco Bay Area, as well as elsewhere in the country. So I've been in real estate my entire adult life, and real estate's treated me well. I guess the most exciting thing was recently I decided to make a shift in my portfolio from single family properties into multifamily. So in the last year, I've made probably six or seven LP investment in apartment syndications, maybe 1,100 units. I've completed two co-GP syndications totaling about 260 units. And hopefully, fingers crossed, tomorrow I close on my first acquisition as a lead sponsor. So I've been in real estate all my life. Real estate investing has been great. The other piece of the puzzle is about six and a half years ago, Laura and I left Silicon Valley and moved to Greenville, South Carolina, kind of a new life adventure. And we're just tickled pink to be here. We love it. And it's been a great move for us, great relocation, and we love living in Greenville.
Perfect. Well, hey, as a fellow South Carolinian, welcome. Hopefully you're enjoying some of the humidity that we bring to the table during the summer months coming up here. And also congratulations and best of luck tomorrow on closing your deal. I know that'll be incredibly exciting, but also incredibly tense as you're watching everything get over the finish line. You mentioned being incredibly lucky and very successful in real estate being good to you. I would, being, you know, the topic of our podcast, love to hear a little bit about an experience where maybe it wasn't as successful or maybe a little bit more painful than you thought it would be. So our audience can learn and take away something from your experience into theirs and continue their growth.
Yes. So certainly I would say, number one, if you are an investor, you are going to make mistakes and you are going to get hurt from time to time. The goal is to minimize the hurt, maximize the win. So I would say having a few failures or difficulties in your investment career is just goes with the territory. So I'll start with kind of a simple one here in Greenville, South Carolina. I do some flipping as well as long-term rental holds and also moving into the multifamily. So I located a totally dilapidated duplex in a gentrifying, improving part of town of Greenville, bought it from a wholesaler, paid cash. The existing tenants had been there maybe 20, 30 years. And basically, the roof was a total sieve. There was no functioning HVAC system. it was substandard, unsafe housing. Okay. So my plan was to acquire the property, do a total renovation down to the studs, new plumbing, heating, electrical, roof, windows. When I do things, I like to do things well. And so I went into the city to get permits for all this work. And as part of the permit process, you have to give them kind of an estimated value of the work you're doing, right? And so this was a small little building, 2 600-square-foot units. And I think my total renovation budget was going to be about $100,000, $50,000 aside. And they go to me, well, you only paid $70,000 for the property. So therefore, since the scope of your renovation exceeds the value of the property, we consider it new construction and therefore must meet all applicable zoning and building codes. It was at that moment I was informed it's actually a single family zoning. And this is on a block where there's probably 10 of these similar duplexes. So back in the day, that's what was built. And then sometime later, the city rezoned the property. So that was a little disappointing because in my mind, I wanted to keep these little units, fix them up, make them nice, provide some affordable housing. I would have rented them for $700-$800 a month, which in today's market is affordable. And I kind of ran into a roadblock. I could have fought the city and kind of petitioned them to waive the requirements, but I generally don't like fighting City Hall. So I then decided, okay, I'll renovate it as a single family home. And I had my architect draw some plans. We submitted for permits. And about that time, I found a multifamily unit property to buy. And I was kind of fed up with this duplex. So I ended up just selling it to a flipper who's now done the single family renovation. And honestly, between my expenses, I ended up maybe losing about $5,000 on that whole transaction. So it wasn't a major financial blow. It did take, what would I say, probably 6 months of my time from start to finish. But I would say the lesson is, and of course, being an experienced investor, I knew this, but sometimes you get a little lazy. Check your zoning, check the permitting. And of course, in a very hot market dealing with wholesalers, you don't really have due diligence time. You got to kind of go and you got to buy them. And 9 times out of 10, it works. But occasionally, the lack of a proper due diligence period can come back to bite you a little bit. So all well and good. It was a lesson learned. I'm sorry I wasn't able to renovate it as a duplex, but that's how it goes.
Yeah, and I think that's a great lesson in that it doesn't matter where you're at in your career in real estate. You know, you have to go back to the fundamentals and make sure you're checking all the boxes and doing all the checklist items leading up to making sure that this is going to be a valuable investment and worth everyone's time and effort and ultimately helping you reach the financial goals that you have. For those, because I know some of our audience is either new or thinking about getting into real estate, and if they don't have the experience in the background that you bring to the table and some of our other guests as well, how would you help them navigate a situation like that, being that this may be their first or only second real estate transaction? It wasn't a big issue for you. You knew how to navigate what to do, where you could move and shift. But being that if you are new, this is completely foreign to you, advice to that new person looking at something like this?
Sure. Great question. So I think number one, as a new investor, I would team up with an experienced real estate broker who's knowledgeable about the areas you want to invest in and the type of property you want to invest in, right? An agent who sells $2 million homes is not going to be the best agent for a $120,000 flip and vice versa. A big multifamily commercial broker is not going to be the right guy for a single family buy and hold. So I'd say number one, team up with a broker who's knowledgeable about the area and the type of property you're looking at. Number two, I would say you need to build a team of, let's call them vendors, which typically are going to be in the construction trades and industry. Because again, if you're working with a contractor or a subcontractor who's familiar with the area, knows the ins and outs of the code and the people in the building department and what their experiences are and how best to approach it, I would say get somebody good on your team from the construction side of it, who's knowledgeable and can kind of offer their advice to you. And then I would say also partner with a good insurance broker. Insurance is important, and getting insurance for a fix and flip is different than getting insurance for a long-term rental hold. So you want to be sure you're kind of properly covered with insurance. And I think get those key people together, real estate broker, contractor, insurance broker. Certainly you could add in your CPA to get advice on some of the tax aspects. And then what I would say is, I know a lot of people say go big, you know, go big right out of the box. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think there is some value to laying a proper foundation and working your way up to a situation. And so I think on your first or second investment, you don't have to put all your chips on the table, right? Start a little slower if possible. Get your feet wet. Buy that first rental. Don't buy five. Buy one. Run it for 3 to 6 months and kind of see how it goes and how you like it. Is it for you? Is it not? Are you happy with it or whatever? So I think just kind of go about it prudently, not in a cautious, fearful way, because I think some people get too caught up in paralysis by analysis. I think to learn, you got to get in the game, right? You get coach, put me in. If you're not in the game, you're not learning. So I think you got to proceed, just kind of try to do it prudently. And I think the other thing I would say, my investing philosophy has always been aim to hit line drive base hits, not swing for the fences, don't go for the grand slam. And again, I understand many experts preach differently. I'm not going to argue with them. It's just what's worked for me. And it just, in my mind, makes more sense. Build up, gain experience, and move up the ladder over time.
Yeah. You know, following the baseball analogy, there are a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that struck out or got out 2/3 of the time. And a lot of those weren't home run hitters that were hitting, you know, 1/3 of their at bats. So I think a running theme we keep hearing on this show is establish relationships, whether it's in your market or the market you're investing in, putting the groundwork to establish those relationships, and then also leaning on those relationships and doing your due diligence and making sure that you're conservative, but not cautious in your approach to investing, whether it's yours or in other investments, if possible.
I think that's great advice.
Perfect. Well, Arne, I truly appreciate the time. I know you're incredibly busy. So I know I'll speak for our audience and say thank you for all the knowledge and experience you brought to the table. For those that maybe want to catch up with you, learn more, or connect with you in any way, where's the best place for them to find you?
Sure. So my business is named Spark Investment Group, which primarily has a multifamily focus. So that would be investwithspark.com. You could reach me via email at arn@investwithspark.com. And of course, I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn. So reach out. Always happy to talk real estate.
Perfect. Arne, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And we'll catch everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.